I just muted it there, man. But you put batteries in it.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It's great to be with you here today. Dr. Jerry Hatfield has been a dear friend to me for 40 years. 40 years. And what a brilliant example of a man of God. My hat's off to you, Brother Jerry. You came to a kind of a gospel-hardened area to try to chisel out a work for the Lord. And this is an amazing testament to your faithfulness to Sister Bonnie, to your family. I love you, brother. I love you. Yeah.
Amen, kids.
Amen. Laura, is that your name? What's your name, honey? Laura? Yeah. I want you to know you're not the only one that the Holy Ghost messes up your hair and you know, you think you got it all straight, and then and just this morning he did it to me again, so I'm shifting gears here. We're going to look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and I'm going to read to you from the NIV. This is a very familiar passage. But how much time do we have here today?
Oh,
we're
usually
hours.
Done by 4 o'clock.
Usually done by 4? Well, yeah, well, where we preach, we always tell them, say, take all the time you want, just turn the lights off when you're done.
Depending on how good it is.
Boy, we may not be very long here. Okay, so John chapter 3. And this is a very familiar passage. You're going to recognize it. John 3, beginning at verse 1. Juan capítulo 3, versículo 1. ¿Ya lo tienen? If I break out and preach in Spanish, don't just bear with me. I'll be right back. John 3, verse 1, it says, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. Verse 3, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going, and so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the transformation power that it brings to our lives. And Lord, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God at work in our hearts, and through your word, Lord, we know that you intend to transform us and to take us deeper into your kingdom, Lord, and into the purposes and the plans that you have for our lives. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
On July the 3rd, 1982, I met a man on Magnolia Beach in Denham Springs, Louisiana. I was toting a cooler full of Michelob and had a bag of Colombian gold in my pocket. And I approached this guy because I saw him doing something that I'd never seen anybody do before on Magnolia Beach. He bowed his head and he prayed over a tomato sandwich that he was about to eat. So I offered him some of my beer, and he said, nope, I got something better. I offered him some of my weed. He said, nope, I got something better. And I wanted to choke him and tell him, what is it? What is it? And he began to tell me about the love of Jesus Christ. That was on a Saturday. I was a wild weed. I had hair down to the middle of my back. My beard was black back then, but it was about down to the middle of my chest. And the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I didn't know what to do. I knew that my physical appearance was based on a rebellious attitude and living the crazy life that I was living. And so with this newfound conviction, I went to the barber shop and I cut all my hair off and I shaved my beard. It was like somehow I thought that I could make myself presentable to God. The next day was Sunday the 4th, and my new friend had invited me to church, and I pulled up there in the parking lot, and I went inside, and I sat down in the back row, and there was a young couple standing on the platform, and they had three platinum blonde haired kids that were singing with them, and Brother Jerry and Sister Bonnie were leading that congregation into the presence of God on that fourth day of July, 40 years ago. The scripture says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But the better translation, because the translators added there is, to make that a little more understandable, the better translation would read that the fool has said in his heart, no to God. No to God. And that Sunday on the 4th of July in 1982, I gripped the chair that was in front of me and I said no to God again. Again, God had been dealing with me. 2 days later, on the 6th of July, my friend invited me to a little church over in Baton Rouge on Perkins Road called The Word. Dr. David Diamond was pastoring that church. And if that name evokes some memories for you, Brother Jerry, this guy was radical and crazy. Pounding the pulpit and screaming. Well, I'm not gonna say what he said. So at 7:35 in the evening on Tuesday, the 6th of July of 1982, I went down and surrendered my life to Christ.
Praise God.
Amen.
I was healed that same evening and took part in a deliverance while I was at the altar. Crazy story. Fast forward 5 days, on the 11th of July, my 20th birthday, my new friend baptized me in the swimming pool of one of the deacons of our church. And that evening, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, laid on the altar and cried for about 2 hours, and everybody was already gone by the time I got up, and somebody was standing over there waiting to lock the door, and my life has never been the same since, ever.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I hope that you have a story here today. I hope that you have a testimony. And it doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be radical. But it must be of being born again. In fact, Jesus in John 3 laid out the only prerequisite that exists to be born again. The only prerequisite to be born again is you must have been born the first time. How many of you were born once? Yeah, me too. And how many of you have been born for the second time?
Amen.
Me too. I want to look at a passage here that comes from the book of Revelation. And I think I'm coming full circle now. We'll see. Revelation chapter 12, and again, reading from the NIV. Revelation 12, beginning at verse 10. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, and he is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short.'" Now, listen, I'm not that guy who has the dispensational chart across the back wall of his study. And, you know, Clarence Larkin was an amazing theologian, an amazing preacher in his day. And I have to believe, honestly, that if Clarence Larkin were alive today, his timeline may change just a little bit. I don't know for sure. And I didn't come to you this morning to give you some type of eschatological timeline that would help you to understand where we're at in modern history and where we're at in prophetic on the prophetic timetable. But what I did come to tell you here this morning is that you and I have an enemy of our soul. You and I have an accuser, a false accuser, who day and night tries to convince God that you and I are something that we are not. He wants us to believe that we still have guilt, that we still have shame, that we have not been redeemed, that we don't have a God that cares for us. Unfortunately, he's successful in convincing some of us of these lies.
Amen.
You know and I know that he will never convince God, but the fight is right here in the trenches. The fight is right here in front of us, day in and day out. It's so much fun to come together with the body of Christ and rejoice on Sunday morning and to lift our hands and to surrender our lives each and every week as we come together as the body of Christ. But what about Monday morning? What about the rest of the week? The influences that are coming into our lives, the things that we're allowing to influence our hearts and our minds, the things that they're telling us about our God. Where are we at with that? Are we allowing them to dominate our hearts and our minds? It says that they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. It doesn't matter how great or how small your experience has been in Christ Jesus. You have a testimony. Amen. You have something to say. Your word, the testimony that comes out of your mouth has the power to change the lives of people around you. You must believe that. And I believe that each and every one of you that are here today, in some way, shape, or form, are here because somebody spoke a word to you. Somebody gave you the power of their testimony, and you breathed that into your life, and it became part of the fiber of who you are, and it changed you.
Amen.
And you have to believe that that same power is in your testimony.
Amen.
And that's why you have to know that the enemy is fighting day and night and trying to convince you that you don't have this powerful, all-loving, all-powerful God that wants to help you. And it says at the very end of this that the devil has gone down because, and he's filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. His time is short. I don't know when the end is coming. I don't know when it's going to be upon us, but I do know this: every day that passes, we're one day closer. The devil doesn't know either. He probably has a pretty good idea. But we see it day in and day out. The acceleration of the lies and the deceit and the discouragement to try to shut us up. That's what he's after. That's what he's after. You see, the scripture says that the task of propagating the gospel across the globe falls on the church. It's the responsibility of you and I to take the gospel to the end of the age. The angels cannot preach it. It's not going to fall out of the sky. God has tasked you and I,
amen,
with taking the gospel to the end of the age. I want to look at Psalm chapter 107. Psalm 107. And you're going to recognize this psalm, and I think you're going to love it from the NIV, because we don't sing it this way. Some of you older folks will remember verse 2 where it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Do you remember singing it like that? Mm-hmm. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I'm going to begin at verse 1, Psalm 107. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And listen to the way the NIV reads. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. "Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and the west and from the north and the south." You and I have a story. If we have been redeemed, if the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to our lives, just like Egypt, when they were commanded to take the blood of the lamb and apply it to the doorpost of their home, and then when the death angel came through, it said that he would pass over them where he saw the blood applied to their life. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come into him and I will sup with him and I will make my home there with him." So when you and I invite Christ into our life, when you and I receive the redeeming power of the gospel into our lives, that's the opening of the door of our life. And that's the difference that it makes. If we've been redeemed, then the scripture says that we need to say so. We need to tell our story. And the reason that our story must be told is because the power of death and life are in the tongue when we begin to stand and proclaim the redeeming power of Christ in our lives. It affects the lives of others around us. My heart breaks when I see the things that are going on in our world. We're right, in fact, Governor Abbott has been to our city there in Eagle Pass 5 times this year already. He was there 3 weeks ago and declared Eagle Pass ground zero. And it's happening right in our front door, literally right in our front door. It breaks my heart to see how humanity is being exploited by the enemy. It just breaks my heart. And you know that God's heart is broken for the multitudes.
Amen.
You know that God wants them to be redeemed. That's what God is all about. Yes. He's all about redeeming souls and men and women and children and bringing them to a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. You and I are the vessels that he has chosen. The scripture says that this glory that God has given, we sang about the glory this morning, that you and I have that glory in these jars of clay. And we must tell our story. We must be there to give that word of testimony.
Amen. Amen.
Acts chapter 1. These are the departing words of our Lord and Savior. And how many of you know that when somebody's going out the door, typically the very last thing that they say to you is of great importance, isn't it? I'll begin at verse 6. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, they gathered around him and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? In verse 7, he says, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, how do I know this is the last thing he said? Because verse 9 says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. This is the last thing that Jesus, in his humanity, spoke over his disciples. This is the team, right? This is his squad. This is the guys that he invested his life in. And the very last thing that he said to them was, you will receive power. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, let's talk about that for just a minute. There's two words that I like to focus on here from this passage of Scripture. The first one is the word power, and that comes to us from the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis is the root of the same word that you and I have our English derivative and our Spanish derivative also of dynamite. Now, we confuse a little bit in our vernacular dunamis because we know dynamite as to be one huge explosion, and that's it. Then you have to go to your next one. Dunamis is not like that. Dunamis is a chain reaction of explosions. And the best way that I know to illustrate that is with the gasoline engine. The gasoline engine has a spark plug. It has injection of fuel. And so when that piston comes up, it compresses the gas that's in there, and that spark hits it and it explodes, and it drives that piston back down, while at the same time the crankshaft is pushing the other piston beside it up, and that same process happens there. And this is a multiple series of explosions that takes place for this gasoline engine to be able to run. That is what dunamis is in our lives. The power of the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time experience, but it becomes really a lifestyle. About 6,000 revolutions per minute when you're going down the highway of life. That's how the Holy Spirit should be at work in you and I. The second word that I like to focus on here, it says that you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. Now, the word witness from the Greek is from the word martureo or maritu. And it's literally where we get our derivative martyr from. In other words, this idea of witnessing, as we just saw in the book of Revelation, that they did not love their lives unto the death. You and I have a word of conviction in our lives, and we must be faithful to speak that word, to witness what we have seen. When you go to in a court of law and you're summoned to be a witness to an accident or a witness to some type of crime, and you go before that judge and you lay your hand on the Bible and you raise your other hand and you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And by the way, Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free. And so when you're called upon to be a witness, you're speaking the truth. You're saying what you have seen with your eyes. And it must be the truth. You and I are carrying the truth on the inside of us. And there are so many lies that are being told around us today. There are so many lies that are going out because the enemy knows that his time is short. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said when the devil speaks, he lies, and it's his native tongue. His native tongue is to lie. How do you know when the devil's lying? It's when his mouth is moving. That's all he does, is lie about you and I. And he wants to convince us that we have not been redeemed, that we cannot trust God. Do you remember in the garden when the serpent came to Eve and he said, what did God say to you? And she's like, well, maybe this, maybe that. And then he said, oh no, God did not say that. The lying started from the very beginning, and guess what? That's all he does, is he just lies and lies and lies and lies. So if we're going to take this power, by the way, I think this is worth mentioning. In traditional Pentecostal circles, this is how this has been preached, and you've probably heard this, and maybe you've even said this. My own pastor, Brother Jerry, and I's a former pastor, he's now retired. My own pastor, I took him to task on this, because this is what I've always heard in Pentecostal circles. They'll say a statement that goes just like this, and they say it as if it were almost a passage of Scripture. They will say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. Guess what? I'm not taking anything away from the gifts of the Spirit, but if you read this in context, it has nothing to do with the gift of tongues. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I'd like to challenge you today to seek the power. When you ask him for power, then you have received the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul, being a Southerner like he was, he said, I wish that you all spoke in tongues more like I do. He said, I'm grateful that I speak in tongues more than y'all. But that's not the initial evidence. The initial evidence is power. And why do we receive power? We receive power so that we can stand and speak, so that we can be in front of men and women and children and speak the word of God. That doesn't necessarily mean that you will have a pulpit to preach from. But let me tell you something. Right there at your desk at work, right there on your... I send out a verse of scripture in the morning in a WhatsApp group in two languages. And I suppose there's probably, between the two, I've got maybe 400 people in my contact list. And that's all I... it's a broadcast is what it is, actually, in WhatsApp. And so it's not like everybody gets amen, thank you, and all that. Nobody gets all that. But I have seen miracles happen just by sending out a verse of scripture in the morning. We actually launched a church 7 years ago because a brother had been lied to and been told lots of things about himself. And I sent this scripture out, and he texted me back and he said, "Why did you send that?" And I said, "Well, I sent it because that's what I thought God told me to send today." And he goes, "Brother, this is a confirmation." And we started a church right out of that very thing. We have this glory, this treasure in earthen vessels. And he gives us the power to do it. Look, it's on us to do it, but it's not on us out of our own strength to do it. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. All right. Some of the things that my beautiful bride of almost 30 years now, some of the things that we're doing, we're raising up a new work. For the last 30 years, we've built schools, churches. We've helped to raise up 3 missionary radio stations. But God has tasked us most recently with raising up a trauma healing center. And we're doing that on both sides of the border. We're doing it in Eagle Pass. And then once that is launched, we're going to be doing that in Mexico. A trauma healing center looks like this. We'll be dealing with sexual abuse victims. In fact, we're already doing this. We don't have the building finished, but we're already doing this. Sexual abuse victims through a program called Savanon, or Sexual Abuse Victims Anonymous. Post-abortion care through a curriculum called Abanon, or Abortion Anonymous. Post-miscarriage care with another curriculum called Missanon, or Miscarriage Anonymous. Unplanned and unwanted pregnancies, and eventually we will be doing referrals for sexually transmitted diseases. Now, when you mention these kind of things in this kind of setting, sometimes it gets a little bit uncomfortable. But we have discovered, and we're working with a group out of Spokane, Washington. It's called SRT Services. But we've discovered that sexually related trauma is something that is so prevalent in our world today that it's absolutely astounding. It's believed that 2 out of every 5 girls before they come of age have been either touched inappropriately or been sexually molested or raped by the time they come of age. It's also believed that 1 in every 5 males have suffered some type of sexual abuse in their life. For years, during the 80s, in the crisis pregnancy center genre, the mantra was "save the babies." And I'm so grateful that the Catholic Church stood up and raised the standard of coming against abortion in our nation. Then rolling into the 90s and the 2000s, the mantra became save the mothers and you'll get the babies. And so that started the pregnancy help center phase of working with unwanted pregnancies. And now we're rolling into what is really the third generation, which is, it says there's a daddy out there somewhere.
Amen.
That needs to be saved also.
Amen.
And so all of these things are related to sexual trauma. An unwanted pregnancy is a sexually related trauma. So this center that we're raising up now is going to be dealing with these things. And I suppose for the longest time, because of shame and repression, in my own life, I'd always been reluctant and hesitant to talk about my story. From the time I was 5 years old until I was probably 10 or 12, don't really know for sure, I had been sexually abused by family members. And that resulted in me becoming a person who thought that sexual deviancy and a promiscuous lifestyle was just what we do. That's just the way it is. And so as an adolescent, I began to also perpetrate sexual abuse around me. And thank God that the gospel intervened in my life and God brought me to a place where I could have a better understanding of life and what it was all about. But you know, we look around and we see that that's just not the norm. The norm is that life just continues to spiral out of control.
Yes, it does.
For most people who have had sexually related trauma in their lives. And I'm so grateful because I've been in this thing 40 years, and the entire time we have prayed that God would put it on the hearts of the Supreme Court of the United States to repeal Roe v. Wade. And by some miracle, after 49 and a half years, men have been told that they don't have a voice or a vote concerning an unwanted pregnancy because, after all, my choice, my body, my choice, right? But now, men are being given the opportunity once again to have a say-so in the result of the sexually related trauma in their life that has produced the life of another human being. We have to tell this story. We have to speak and say what God has done in and through our lives.
I know
that right here in this room, there are some who have suffered from sexual abuse in their lives. I know that there are some who have, as a result, because typically whoever has been abused in turn will also abuse. So I know that here today with us, there are others who have perpetrated abuse. And what I came to tell you here today was that regardless of how things have gone in your life, whether it's been against you or if you have perpetrated also against others, regardless of that, Jesus came to set you free.
Amen.
And He came to give you another story. You see, abuse in your past doesn't define who you are today. And as you continue to turn the page of your life, God will continue to unfold a story. And what He intends to do is he intends to take your life and your story and paint a picture that others can look at and say, there is hope for me. Because most sexual abuse victims, most women who have had abortions, and a lot of women who've had miscarriages and have had these traumas in their lives, they don't feel like there's any hope. They're haunted by the things that have happened to them and the things that they have partaken in. They're haunted by it. I discovered shortly after I finished Bible college in 1988, I was reading for about the fourth time a little book by Hannah Hernard. It's called Hinds Feet on High Places. It's an allegory, and if you've ever read it, you know that certain characteristics have names, and they're portrayed in this book as characters. And it wasn't directly what Hannah Hernard had written, but through this book, I began to discover that my mortal enemy, and you, if you've read her book, you understand what that means. My mortal enemy was shame. And I didn't know what it was about. And as it began to wash over me and I began to contemplate and understand about shame at work in my life, it was directly related to sexual trauma in my life. And God just began to work with me and deal with me and help me. And he removed shame from my life. He took it away from me. And he wants to take shame away from your life. He wants to take shame out of your family. He wants to help you rewrite your story. He wants you to be able to stand with boldness and proclaim the redemption that he has brought into your life. I'm going to ask you to stand here this morning. Jesus. As I've been speaking, some of you may have had a video, as it were, playing across the screen of your mind, perhaps of some of the things that you've been through in your life. And I just want you to know that God wants to help you. Amen. This body of believers wants to help you. We really are all in this together.
Yes, we are.
And we are one body. And when one member suffers, the whole body suffers. And if we trust and we believe that Jesus is the head of the body, then we must be open to receive messages, as it were, from the head into the rest of the body. And if you've ever got up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom and stubbed your toe on the foot of the bed, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The body responds. Maybe you find yourself curled up on the floor, clenching your little toe that you're convinced that you just broken. The body must respond. influence the enemy is using against you is about to be broken. It's about to be broken. I believe the power of the Holy Spirit is here today to break those chains of bondage, of shame, fear. I know there's at least two people here today that are gripped by fear. It's at every turn, and it's like it's plaguing your mind, and you it's like you almost don't even want to leave home because you're afraid that this or that is going to happen. And the Lord says he's here to break that power today.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's here to break it. I'm just going to ask you, if you would, just lift your hands here today. Father, I just pray right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you just come, Lord, that you just come and saturate the body of Christ today. Lord, fill us with power. And Lord, let us be clothed today with power from on high. Lord, power to break bondage, power to break fear, power to erase shame in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm asking for deliverance. God, there are things that have plagued our minds for decades. And I'm asking today that the power of the Holy Spirit would come and begin to break that off. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to speak up. Help us, Lord, to get it out. Lord, the memories that we have repressed, the things that we have allowed to just seethe and boil over underneath the surface, God, I ask that you help us to get them out, to find someone that we can confide in to begin to start the healing process today.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, take a needle and bust the boil today, that the toxicity and the infection in our spirit and our soul would begin to be purged and catheterized, Lord, and to be purged and washed today, to get that toxicity and that infection out of our lives. We trust you, Jesus. We trust you. And Lord, we're going to trust you that as you send the impulses down the body, that we can also trust those that you've put in our lives in the body of Christ to bind up the brokenness.
That's right.
And to find healing.
Thank you.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We receive it today. We receive it. We receive it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, mighty God. Mighty God. If you're here today and you've never receive Christ into your life, if you've never received forgiveness in your life, while everyone still has their head bowed and their eyes closed, I'm just going to ask you if you just slip your hand up. If that's you today, you need forgiveness in your life. You need Christ to come and save you. If that's you, I just want to ask you to take a step of faith and slip your hand up real quick. Maybe you're that person that says, well, I had a great relationship with God at one time in my life, but it's kind of slipped. And I'd like to come back to Him today. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up real quick. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come and to be prayed for. And if you lifted your hand, if you didn't lift your hand, that's okay. If you're in one of those categories, you're welcome to come. I'd also like to pray for you today if you have sickness in your body. The scripture says that we can call the elders of the church and anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And it says if they've committed any sins, they will be forgiven. If you're here today and you need prayer, I just want to invite you to come. We want to bless you. We want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask the brothers if they would come. And maybe there's a couple of sisters that would like to pray today. We want to anoint with oil. Thank you, Lord. If you need prayer, don't hesitate. Don't be that fool that says no to God.
That's right.
Acknowledge Him in your life. I want to invite you to today, if you just stretch your hand out to those that are here. We want to pray and believe God. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name, we anoint with oil today. We ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just come. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring redemption. Come, Holy Spirit, and touch our lives today. We trust you, Lord, but we don't have any other source, God. We're grateful, Lord, for doctors. We're grateful for firemen and for first responders. We're grateful for all these helps that you've put in our lives, but the very bottom line is, Lord, is that our trust is in you. Our trust is in you. And so, Lord, today, once again, God, we acknowledge you, and we ask that you come, and that you heal, and that you bless, and that you touch. And Lord, if there's any sins that have been committed, God, that there would just be a calm assurance of that purging power of the blood of Jesus Christ afresh and anew in our lives. My dear children, these things I have written to you, that you sin not. But if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So today, Lord, be our lawyer. Take care of these cases against us. Lord, solicit today the judge of our lives, that the lies that have been spoken against us would be canceled, Lord. And Lord, strengthen our lives. Strengthen us today, Lord, that we would not fall into temptation again and again and again. Lord, break the pattern. Break the pattern today, Lord. Remove the shame. Remove the guilt. Strengthen us, Lord, to stand for you and to speak your word, to bring life, to infuse power to those who are around us. Father, I pray today for my sister Bonnie. Lord, we just send your word right now to her. Oh, God, send your word. I pray for my brother Jerry, God. I thank you, Lord, that you've given him strength, God.
Yes.
To finish strong, Lord.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, that you've left this legacy here for him and for his family, Lord, and for this city, for these people, God. I just speak life over Brother Jerry and Sister Bonnie today. In the name of Jesus, Oh God, oh God, they've stood faithful in the face of adversity. They've stood strong, God, when they're hurting on the inside, when they're hurting on the outside. God, they've stood strong in you, and that's because you've given them that strength, Lord. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. I bless the father of this house today. I thank you for his life, God. I thank you for Sister Bonnie, for their children and their grandchildren, Lord. For their great-grandchildren. Lord, your word says that the blessing endures to 1,000 generations, Lord. And I thank you for them today. God, I bless Turning Point Church. I ask that you just help them, Lord. Help them today, God. Lord, to be strong. Help them, God, as they walk with you and they trust you, Father.
Amen.
God, we just thank you that you're at work here today in these lives, bringing healing and bringing restoration and redemption, Father. And I thank you for them, Lord. And I thank you for them, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just hear the Lord saying, Today is the beginning of a new chapter. Today is the beginning of a new chapter. Embrace it. Walk in it. Begin to write down the things that God is saying to you and he's doing for you. They may not even make sense to you, but just begin to write them down. Because you're going to see that these are the first words of a new chapter in your life. This is the genesis of a new story. And it's a beautiful story that God is writing in your life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Brother Don. Thank you. Hallelujah. I know if you would like a personal prayer from Don here, I'd be glad to do that. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Thank you, Jesus.